Our next speaker is a native of Dallas, Texas. So that's 2-1, Alabama. That's 2-1, huh? He's graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School in the 90s. He's ordained in April of 2011 as a preacher. Enrolled at Southern Bible Institute in 2014. He's an adult Sunday school teacher. And he'll graduate from Southern Bible Institute in 2017 with a bachelor's degree in biblical studies and theology and a teaching certificate. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Brown currently resides in Cedar Hill, Texas, with his wife, Rory, and a daughter, Kennedy. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring the next preacher from Southern Bible Institute, Mr. Derek Brown.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to very briefly spark your curiosity tonight into the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. You don't have to stand as I draw your attention to chapter 1, verse 10. It is there you'll find these words recorded in the English Standard Version of the Holy Bible. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want to talk to you tonight just real briefly about a Sundesmos symphonos. A Sundesmos symphonos. That's not me trying to sound educated. That's just me doing some exegeting and leaving the driving to the text. So if you see me after the conference tonight, if I'm smiling, if I'm shaking hands, that probably means that I got the exegesis of my title correct. But if you don't see me, that means that my homiletic professor, my dean of preaching, have backed me out into a corner and gave me a good what for. Probably so good I had to grab my wife and we all had to duck out the back door. But just real briefly, a sundesmos symphonos simply translates a binding agreement. What is a binding agreement? If you were to define it, you can sum it up in three words, though it would be simple, but it would be powerful. Waiting for it? You waiting for it? It's a promise. So in Scripture, the first time that we see the word agree, as Paul is using it here in 1 Corinthians, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19, where Jesus says, if two of you agree on anything on earth, that it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Key word in that verse is agree, which was Paul's point here in 2 Corinthians. Now, over in Genesis chapter 1, God seems to be in a conversation by himself, because every other verse that he starts with, all the way up to 23, the verse starts with, then God said, let there be. But when you get to verse 26, the language changes from a singular to a plural, because the word says, then God said, here it is, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. This should be our example of how we should be on one accord with one another, how we should get along as Christians, how we should be able to agree with the Lord and his word. Paul here gives us three elements of what a binding agreement requires. Number one, an agreement requires a request. Part A of our text says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot approach somebody by our name. We cannot start to work on other people by our name. It has to be by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by that name that we can start to lay all our differences aside. It's only by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can start to agree as brothers and sisters about the word of God. Now, Chloe wrote a letter to Paul. She may have wanted to address this situation herself, but being a woman in those times, she probably knew that her word and her opinion wasn't going to have any effect on what was going on in the church. So what she does is she says, you know, I have to get in contact with somebody I know they're going to listen to. I need to get in contact with somebody that I know that can rectify the situation. But what I found interesting was the initial request comes from Chloe, not Paul, because she requesting that something be done about the divisions in the church. But what really got me is that the impact of Chloe's request, the impact that it gave to Paul's response to the brothers. He knew that his name didn't have any power. He said, if they're not going to listen to somebody that can see what's going on that's there at the church, then the chances are probably slim to none. If I'm not there, they're not going to listen to me just because I'm writing them a letter. So I can't write it in my name. What I'm going to do is I'm going to write it and I'm going to appeal to them by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that if you were to take these big name stars such as Adele, Beyonce, Prince, Pink, all of these people, and line them up on a column, can I tell you that next to Christ, their names wouldn't carry any weight? It really doesn't matter how many films that Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks have starred in. It doesn't matter. You can gather up all their films, add them up, and add up all the Oscars they have. But if you put them next to Christ, their names wouldn't speak any volumes. Up until this point, we've had 44 presidents. They've all had the honor to serve the highest office in the land. But can I tell you that neither of their names will never be the name that's above every name. It's only by that name that we can start to agree with one another. The second element of the agreement is that the agreement requires a reason. Part B of our text says that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you. Sin has crept into the church. It has started to infect and infest and corrupt the brothers as well as the congregation. Because now here they are arguing, they are quarreling, they are sinning. All of this is going on. Why? Because of their personalities. Their personalities are starting to, their true colors are starting to come out, if you will. In other words, their personalities are starting to take over. This is all because of the sin that's infested them, the bind, the stuff that's going on in the church that Chloe saw. Now, that was just then. Is it all right if I come to the nowness just for a second? Here these preachers are arguing over who preached the best. They're fussing and fighting over who baptized the most people last Sunday. But when most of the time they can't even agree who's going to preach on Sunday morning. Paul realizes this, y'all, because he realizes that there are no room for egos in the kingdom of heaven. So he says the only way that I'm going to get these brothers to start to agree in is if I come by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if I do that, the only way that I can get them to see that it's not about me, it's not about them, that it's about him. In order that for happen, I got to get them to lay their egos down. So Paul said, I'm going to lay mine down too. Y'all remember that old commercial, Lego my ego? Paul says, I'm going to Lego my ego. I think you may have to be over 40 to remember Lego my ego. Here's the scene. Husband, wife, 2.3 kids, even the dog in the kitchen gathered around the toaster, waiting for this frozen, eggy-tasting disc of a breakfast just to pop up so the first one to grab it can say, Lego, my ego. Chloe sees this Lego, my ego mentality taking place in her church. She sees the infection and she sees the disruption starting to take place. So what happens is now not only is it taking place in the brothers, it's taking place in the congregation because the congregation is now stroking the egos of these preachers. I'm still in the nowness. Some of y'all won't come to church because Reverend Brown preaching Sunday. Some of y'all don't like the way he preached because he preached too practical. Some of y'all saying, well, I ain't going to come till Apollos is preaching because that brother know how to get down. Here it is. Can I tell you that these preachers here, they have submitted their resumes to this church. So while not in a sense of them being in a home environment, they are in a church environment sitting around waiting to see whose name is going to pop up so that person can say, Lego, my ego. What I've discovered is whoever grabs the ego develops an ego. Paul said, ain't no room for egos in the kingdom of God. Listen, the word of God, my brothers and sisters, is not some frozen, eggy-tasting disc of a breakfast. But what it is the immutable, indisputable. It is the infallible. It is the incorruptible. It is the life-changing, life-giving. It is the living word of God. And for that reason, we ought to all want to agree with the word of God. So first of all, we've seen that an agreement requires a request. We've just saw that an agreement requires a reason. Now, here finally, we can see that an agreement requires a restoring result. Part C of our text says this, in contrast to Paul telling us that we should have no divisions among us, but we should be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. He's saying here in the word, using the word You being united is in a sense of restoring something back to its original state. Okay. Y'all don't want to go back to your original state, I see. He's talking about restoring something back to its original state. When he says we need to be in the same mind, he's speaking about 2 Colossians when he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When he's talking about us being in the same judgment, he's referring to us having the same purpose in Jesus Christ. Okay, so here it is, and I'm through. The restoring result comes by way of my exegesis of the title, a sundesmos symphonos. Can I tell you that there was a request for us over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 4. John says, I began to weep loudly because there was no one worthy to come and take the scroll or even to look into it. But then he said, one of the elders said to him, weep no more, for there is one who is worthy to come and take the scroll. He says, behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, conquers. Can I tell you that? There was a reason for us also back over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Y'all know where I'm at? That's where Satan came and put the moves on Eve. And then Eve put the move on Adam. And then Adam tried to put the moves on God. But by one man, sin has entered into the world. But can I tell you, in that same chapter 3, verse 15, a restoring result starts to take place. Because God told Satan, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed, and he will bruise your heel, and you will bruise his head. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. If you keep going a little further in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, God makes a binding agreement with David when he promises him that he's going to establish his throne forever. Even in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can see the binding agreement being ready to take place, because our Lord and Savior is praying this prayer while he's sweating blood, saying, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. Even in John chapter 6, verse 38, the word agrees with himself when he says, I come not to do the will of me, but to do the will of him who sent me. Can I tell you that the God of that we serve had a restoring result all along, because he had a three-element agreement that he had also. It went like this. The first was somebody had to be offered up for the sins of the world. His first element was an offer. Somebody had to be offered up for the sins of the world. His second element was that somebody had to accept the terms and the conditions. The third was somebody had to consider to be able to do what needed to be done and to pay what needed to be done. Can I tell you, it was only Jesus that was able to be lifted up and offered up for the sins of the world. It was only Jesus that was able to accept the terms and the conditions that went along with the promise. It was only Jesus that was able to do what needed to be done and to pay what needed to be paid. Now his death, his burial, and his resurrection have become our binding agreement of our salvation to be with the Lord forever in heaven. He is our binding agreement. In other words, he is our sundesmos, sumphonos. Thank you.